Chairman, members of the commission, thank you. This is a proposed regulation change. And what the department is doing is proposing that the commission eliminate the 80% let off rule for bows used during the archery only season or archery only areas. This was a product of the Fish, Wildlife and Parks Regulation Review Committee. And the reason why we're proposing this is sort of a twofold reason. Modern compound bow manufacturers are increasingly building bows that have greater than 80% let off, which makes it difficult for an archery hunter to comply with what the regulations say just in simply buying a bow. Additionally, there's not a practical method for enforcement personnel to measure the let off of a bow in the field. We're not able to go up and really actually verify a let off when we check somebody in the field. So for those two reasons, we're bringing this proposal to the commission. Essentially, we want to make sure that the hunters out there that are trying to comply with the law are able to comply with the law, and we don't have a regulation that's difficult to enforce. The Montana, when we originally considered this change, we informally put it through the Bow Hunters Association equipment matrix, and we spoke with the Bow Hunters Association, Montana Bow Hunters Association, and initially they had endorsed this proposal. I understand they're planning on appearing today and speaking in this conversation, so I'll let them offer up whatever comments they have. However, just so you know, at one point when we originally proposed this, they were endorsing it. So the public has not had the opportunity to review this, but may do so at this meeting. As with any proposal, the commission can vote to remove the 80% let off, which would remove that from the regulations and make it so that we don't have a rule that's difficult to enforce with respect to a hunting bow. Also, the commission can vote not to change the regulations and it'll stay exactly as it is. So Fish, Wildlife and Parks recommends that the commission remove the regulation that requires a compound bow to be limited to 80% let off for archery only hunting seasons and archery only hunting areas.
Thank you, Mr. Kilbreath. I've promoted you to captain, and I'm going to stick with that for the day. So I don't have authority to do that, but it's my last meeting, so what the hell.
Well, I appreciate that.
So, Captain, any questions or discussion from the commission?
Mr. Chairman, just one easy question, I think, is when would this become effective if we approve it today?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Aldrich, double check with our legal counsel on that, but my understanding with the regulation changes, it would become effective as soon as the commission votes on it.
Chair Colton, members of the commission, Commissioner Aldrich, I am not certain on that answer, and I don't want to give you an answer that I am not certain about. So I will do some checking on that and can get back to you. And is that okay if I delay and get it back to you?
Let me ask this question, Becky. I would assume we'd have the authority to create an effective date if we wanted to say it'd be effective for the 2021 hunting season or 21-22 hunting season.
Chair Colton, yes, that is true.
So I ask the commissioners to keep that in mind is when I call for a motion. Further comments or questions for Captain Hilbert?
I think I know what the let off is, but not being an archery hunter, I'm going to ask what we're talking about in the 80% let off.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Stuker, good question. In a compound bow, when you draw the bow back to draw the arrow back, you have a certain amount of poundage that is drawn back that your body is physically holding that poundage back. And as you draw the bow back with a compound bow, that weight that you're pulling back rises to a certain point. And then because of the mechanics of the limbs of the bow, then it lets off to a much lower point. So if you were to shoot, say, a recurve or a longbow, you'd be pulling back and holding the whole draw weight of the bow the entire time before you shoot. Whereas a compound bow, you're drawing, it's getting harder and harder as you pull back and bend the limbs, and then the parts of the mechanical parts of the bow let off, and so you can hold a lot less weight. So the 80% draw weight is, you know, if you had a bow that had a 100-pound draw weight that you had to pull 100 pounds back to draw the bow, the 80% let off would mean that when it lets off, you're only then holding 20% of the actual maximum draw weight of the bow.
Okay, that's what I thought. So if we approve this motion where it is less than 80%, and we just got an email sent to us that I think we'd seen before of individuals talking as they get older, it's tougher to do the archery. Whereas if they got it enough to pull the initial part and then there's less to hold, it would make it easier, I'm assuming, for individuals of that type to still archery hunt. Would that be a correct assumption?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Stuker, I think that could definitely be a correct assumption. I mean, a lower or a higher percent let off would mean that you're holding less weight while you're actually aiming the bow and making preparations for the final shot. Obviously, you still have to overcome whatever the initial draw weight is, but a higher percentage let off would mean that you're holding less weight back. And so if you had less strength or mobility issues or difficulties like that, I can only imagine that it would make it easier.
Thank you. And based on that answer, I do support this going forward.
Further comment or questions from the commission?
I have a question, Mr. Chairman. Captain Kilbreth, at what point do we start getting into the territory of both have no drawback or something like a crossbow that can be held back as long as possible? Is there a distinction somewhere in there in the law that we might be bumping up against unintended consequences with crossbows and the like?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Byers, that's always a good question. At some point in the past, I think the question of technology. I mean, our current regulations have some very strong definitions about what a bow is. A bow has to be held in the hands. A bow has to derive its propulsive energy from the mechanical bending of the limbs. String has to be held in the hand. Unless you have a permit, if you have a disability, it can't have a device that locks it back. That to me, holding the string back independent of muscular strength is a distinction between a bow and a crossbow. So there are definitely some things in the definition of what a hunting bow is that I think have the ability to potentially mitigate that unintentional consequences that you're talking about. But unfortunately, also, as we've all discussed in these technology things, I mean, none of us have a crystal ball to look forward and see what's coming. So I don't think we could ever definitively say yes or no to that question, because it's just hard to know what's coming in the future.
A follow-up, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Well, that said, then it sounds like there's plenty of buffer between a regulation that's enforceable at this point and protection of the fair chase ethic. Is that correct in your estimation?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Byers, I think that what we're proposing today, the answer I would give you is yes.
Thank you.
Further questions or comments from the commission before I call for a motion?
Chair Colton, may I just answer the question from Commissioner Aldrich?
Yes, Becky. Thank you.
Chair Colton, Commissioner Aldrich, I checked with a member of the Regulations Review Committee who suggested this change, and it is intended that it would be effective next hunting season. And so this is much like many of our regulations, ahead of schedule to be implemented at a future time.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, I'll add to that. Part of the reason is we want to get it in the regulations, get it into the schedule of having the regulations printed out as well.
That makes sense. Commissioner McKean, do you have a comment?
I do, Chairman. I just want to applaud the committee that came up with this proposal. I think it's keeping honest people honest, and I think it's one of those instances that has been not only confusing, but has been troubling to some bow hunters who acknowledge that they are out of compliance. And I think this is really what the regulation simplification process was intended to do. So nice job.
And I certainly understand why this is coming forth, and I don't criticize the work of the committee. If I was king, I would probably moving the let off the other way. I think maybe that's because my dad's pretty handy. He was when I was a younger man with a recurve, and he looks at my bow and makes fun of me, says, "Why don't you just use a rifle?" There's still a big difference, but I think these amazing let offs are a little bit troublesome, even though I have a high let off on my bow, certainly markedly more than I had 40 plus years ago when I got into archery and standard wheels and big aluminum arrows. The arrow looked like a B-52 flying out there, just cruising along, as opposed to these new bows with carbon arrows and speed. It's amazing. I really struggle with that, but I understand the enforceability issues. Kevin, what are some of the max let-offs? Are we seeing let-offs at 90, 95%? I mean, I can't imagine 100% let-off. That it feels strange in the hand to not have some tension.
Mr. Chairman, that's a good question. I know that the let-offs are commonly coming out that are, you know, more than 80% in the 90s range. Not being a mechanical engineer, I would have to imagine that there's a limit to how much let off could be on a bow. I don't think you could have a 0% let off bow, but again, I'm not an engineer, so it's hard to imagine what the future might hold. But I know the trend has been for more and more percentage let off, and I think it's very common now for bows to be in the 90% let off, 95 even perhaps. Last time I looked at a compound bow, they even have more. You can adjust the let off on them to make it higher or lower.
Yeah. Okay, with that, I'll call for a motion from the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Fish and Wildlife Commission remove the regulation limiting compound bows to 80% let off for the archery only season and archery only areas.
I second that motion.
One second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. I'll ask for one last bit of comment from the commission before I put it out to the public for comment.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to thank Becky and others for getting that answer to us quickly. It was good. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and start with Mr. LePage, with the current president of the Montana Bowhunter Association. You want to appear there. Hello, Mr. LePage. Thank you. I can see you, but I can't hear you. It may be a setting on your computer, Steve, that has you muted. Because you've been unmuted via Zoom, but I just don't think your machine's picking up your voice.
Steve, there may be a way to toggle on or off the microphone on your computer.
Yeah, if we could. I think we have a phone number too. Our Pat is trying to reach out to him as well.
All right, why don't we, I'm gonna move on, Steve, and maybe you guys can work out the logistics here, and I'll take comment and I'll come back to you. Maybe if Pat could could call in and
hear me.
I caught something there.
You can't hear me?
I can now. Yeah, there we go. Go ahead, Mr.
Thank you. I apologize for that. Mr. Chairman, commissioners, my name is Stephen LePage, and I'm from Lewistown, Montana, and I'm representing the Montana Bowhunters Association. After surveying our membership, there's overwhelming, we can't support this regulation change. There's the majority of our members do not want it at all. The primary reason is that this industry-driven technology creep is blurring the lines between crossbow or between archery equipment, bows and arrows, and crossbows and air guns. So based on that, we'd like to ask you to maintain the let-off requirement. Keep it in place. Thank you.
Thank you. And just clarification, initially MBA came out in support, but after a more concerted effort to hear from your membership, that position has changed.
Right, right. Initially, we were indifferent now with a survey of our membership and much board discussion, it's overwhelming that we do not want to get rid of the let-off requirement.
Thank you. Any questions from the commission of Mr. LePage? Thank you, Steve, for your participation and for your efforts to pull your membership.
Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you. We'll move on. Further public comment, star 9, and you'll be recognized. And phone number ending in 326.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, 326.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Chairman, commissioners, and FWP staff. Welcome, Commissioner McKean. For the record, my name is Thomas Baumeister, Baumeister. I offer the following comments on behalf of the Montana chapter of backcountry hunters and anglers. The proposal before the commission to remove the existing let-off rule underscores the very need to draw a line in terms of what is and is not consistent with our way of hunting in Montana. We have a long tradition in the state of keeping the allure and pervasiveness of technology in check. We refer to this as our fair chase ethos. It's this notion and practice of exercising restraint in the means we employ in our pursuits of fish and wildlife. There is no doubt that we have the ability to kill every wild thing in Montana. The argument before us that this technology of greater let-off bows exists, and therefore we must make it easier on its users and those faced with enforcing the current regulation, is perhaps the weakest argument we can advance. And if we follow that line of reasoning, will lead us down this path of not having standards in the way we pursue wild things. To be clear, we're not advocating that the let-off should be 80% or 85%, or for that matter, 60%. What we are recommending is that we ought to have a let-off as the very activity of bow hunting with a compound bow during prime time must come with placing a burden on the hunter to master the practice of shooting, which in this case includes the physical ability to draw back and hold steady a bow in close proximity to a bugling bow. We must maintain that bow hunting remains a challenge and that getting an elk is indeed an achievement that speaks to commitment and excellence. Keeping the regulation as is, while not perfect, is preferably over eliminating it wholesale in the quest for expediency. As the late Jim Posovitz reminds us in his book, Beyond Fair Chase, and as referenced by Chairman Colton this morning, as hunters, we must maintain a balance that affords the hunted to escape most of the time while the hunter succeeds on occasion. With that reminder in mind, we respectfully ask the FWP Commission to hold the line. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Baumeister. For your public comment, ending in 227.
Commissioners, this is Nick Jivak with the Montana Wildlife Federation, and we're just coming in. We had actually intended to come in and support this, but after we really want to follow our close conservation partners, Montana Bowhunters Association's lead on this, and so we're basically going to support what they're saying. I would suggest that if this commission is going to shelve this today, that we look at looking at some way for game wardens to actually be able to enforce this, because I think the agency did a good job, the staff, of laying out, you know, why this is such a difficult regulation to enforce. But so with that, I'd urge you to shelve this today and potentially sit down with MBA and us and some other hunting organizations and look at some ways we could do that. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Jivak. Further public comment? Ending in 949.
Hi there. My name is Stephanie Prater, and I'm a Region 4 bow hunter. I live in Lewistown, Montana. I serve on the Lewistown Bow Hunters Association board, and I also serve as a director at large for Region 4 on the Montana Bow Hunters Association. When we put it out for survey, we did allow for phone calls to be taken for your region representative, and I received several phone calls from Region 4 bow hunters against dropping the 80% let off. I also, for those who aren't aware of archery equipment, most bows and bow manufacturers actually put the let off stamped right on the compound cam. And many of the manufacturers offer multiple different let off modules between 60, 75, 85%. So you can purchase a module to change the let off for usually around $30 to $40. So that is one thing to keep in mind, that it is easily changeable and enforceable by looking at the stamp on those cams of current manufacturers.
Thank you, Ms. Grader. Further public comment?
Chair Colton, members of the commission, it looks like that's it for public comment.
Thank you. I'll bring it back to the commission.
I apologize. We do have one person that just put their hand up.
Okay. Go ahead. Caller whose phone number ends in 541.
Hello, commission?
Yes.
This is Daryl Brabick in Colstrip, Montana. And I have to speak in favor of this is Daryl Brabick in Colstrip, Montana. And as one of the commissioners alluded to, I would support, because I have dealt with people who have had shoulder problems as they age, and continuing to have the let off allow them to continue to hunt. It is one of those things that age is dictated. And I know that there are people out there that think that if you can't pull it back, then you shouldn't get to hunt. And I believe that's wrong.
Thank you for your comments, sir. It's appreciated. Further public comment?
Chair Colt, members of the commission, now that looks like we are done.
Okay, I'll bring it back to the commission for comment and discussion.
Chairman, I have a question.
Yes.
I think this goes to a question of the enforcement division, and that is there a practical way to check a percentage let off in the field without having to rely on a stamped cam or other method?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner McCain, I think I can take a stab at that. I am unaware of any method that it would be practical to do this. The way that you would measure a let off on a bow is you would need a stand that you could put up with a scale on it. You would have to place the bow on the stand, pull the bow down, record the highest draw weight that was the, wherever the weight peaked, and then also record the lowest weight, and then get out your calculator and do a calculation for it. And that's what's in the, that's even the methodology that's described to calculate that in the archery equipment matrix. I'm not aware of any other way that, that could practically be done in the field. And as you can imagine, as a game warden out trying to check people and ascertain whether or not their bow truly meets the let-off, not what the stamp says on it, but what the actual let-off of the bow is, it simply is not practical for us to be able to go around and do that.
Thank you. Further questions or comments?
Mr. Chair, just to add to what Sergeant Kilbreth added, the easy part of what he described is getting the draw weight, as I think you know as an archer as well. You can get the draw weight, but getting that second let-off weight presents real technical difficulties in the field. You can do that in the bow shop, possibly, but that getting that second weight for the second part of the calculation is the real challenge, and doing that in any way accurately and consistently is the problem.
Thanks, Mike. Well, I struggle with this. I understand the enforcement challenges, and I also understand the concerns about, you know, folks with shoulder problems and aging, whether it's an injury or whether it's just worn out over time. And we certainly don't want to ban people from the opportunity, but we have processes in place to get exemptions for that. And it's been my experience that medical providers in Montana are familiar with treating Montana's hunters and you know, can write letters of support for those types of prescriptions to have different let-offs or different modifications to keep people in the field. You know, we make regulations not just to figure out ways to trigger fines. We make regulations to promote particular ethos. And I'm most influenced and swayed by the discussion of fair chase and whether there's really a difference between an 80% and a 90% let off is an academic discussion. But even if this is not enforced, having this regulation in place in my mind promotes an ethos about what's the extreme upper end of the use of this technology. And I bring my own biases into it, from starting with stick bows to round cams, to alpha cams, and to what we have now. I mean, my bow looks is technologically advanced, more so than the first, you know, Apollo mission. It's just, there's a lot going on that bow and a lot of amazing, you know, materials to put it together. And so I'm in favor of keeping the regulation as it is in full recognition of the challenges. But again, regulations are not always about triggering fines. It's about setting a policy. And so I'm gonna vote against the proposed motion, which is of course to remove this restriction. I'll entertain any more discussion before I call the vote.
I have only one question or a comment, Chairman, and that is, I also struggle with this. I feel like the self-imposed ethos of restraint is an important thing to keep front of mind and not back of mind. And I think simplifying regulation to keep honest people honest is laudable, but I hope and trust that this is not sliding us toward blurring that bright line of distinction between drawing and holding a bow in the presence of game and not. And the not, of course, is referring to crossbows. There's been lots of discussion in the recent history of sportsmen's issues in the state about crossbows are not archery equipment, and I strongly believe that. So I trust that this is not sliding us toward blurring that bright line of distinction, but I do feel like it will help keep honest people honest and keep the enforcement really focused on things that they can enforce.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, some of you saw the picture of my elk this year that had the arrow stuck right off in the rear hind and the hind quarter right beside the tail, going vertically up toward the front of the body. And it was a lightweight type of an arrow and probably penetrated about 14 or 15 inches. The elk was quite well when I shot it and it tastes very good. But, you know, I listened to Thomas Baumeister and the Bow Hunter Association people and one thing another, you know, and reference to some of the things that our good friend Jim Posowitz has said and most of us believe. It just seems to me that, you know, we'd be on a better course to perhaps look at a way to measure if that needs to be done in the field. My personal ethics, you know, have a real trouble dealing with, you know, people that chase bull elk when they're at their most vulnerable stages in their lifetime and shooting them at 80 to 90 yards and using the kind of technologies that are now available. But this kind of goes against where I am in terms of when I get to a point where I can't do something, whether it be my hunting and fishing that I've loved my whole life, I'll back off. I will, rather than take a chance on meat, not liking myself for lack of choice in terms of ethics and so forth.
Thank you, Commissioner Allen. Further comment from the commission. I just think it's important to recognize that, you know, we have a special season for archery for a reason, and it's because we are hunting them when they're most vulnerable, and of course we're talking primarily about elk. And that's why we have that special season, the idea that this is harder. And with the advance of technology, it does get easier. And I've taken advantage of that. But I do think there need to be limits, even if there are challenges enforcing. So with that, I'll call for the vote. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
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 Am I correct in reflecting that Aldrich, Bayor, and Colton are noes?
Yes.
And Commissioner Stuker and McKean are ayes?
Correct.
Motion fails. And so by operation of, since the regulation would just fall back to its existing status, is that correct, Becky?
That is correct.
Okay, with that, gentlemen, why don't we take, we've been going about an hour and a half. Why don't we take about a 10-minute break? Let's go ahead and put us back right at 10:45. And we're running a little bit behind, but I think we can catch up here. So we'll reconvene at 10:45.